where? Psalm chapter number 7. I thought we'd had enough of this enemy stuff, but apparently not. And how many of y'all went and did likewise from Sunday morning? Yeah? No? I tried to, and still working on it. Sunday night we preached on loving your enemies, and my phone was blown up after church and Monday, and it was a good thing. I mean, you know, there was a time when my phone got blown up and people were cussing me out, and I had somebody call me and they were like, preacher, you done messed me up, man. And I'm like, well, what happened? Man, you can't preach nothing like that again. And I said, tell me, what's going on? What are you talking about? Man, I had to go get right with somebody tonight after church. So Sunday night, somebody left our services and drove to somebody's house and got right with them Sunday night. And I think that was all right. And there's no bloodshed happened yet because of it. And then Monday, all day long, preacher, I ran into my enemy today. I ran into my enemy. And if you on Facebook and follow me, I shared this morning that Monday night, by the way, I was in the middle of typing that and two deer walked out on me. I had to put it down and, you know, let them mill around, decide I wasn't going to shoot them, and then pick the phone back up and type again. But anyhow, Monday afternoon, I got up there and I got to praying for people that had done me wrong. And I said, you know, if I'm going to preach it, I got to live it. And I kind of put it off all day. And I got up there and I started praying and calling them out by name, individually, calling them out by name as they come to remembrance. And an hour and a half later, I was still praying. And all I did was pray for those that had done me wrong. And, the more I got to praying, and, you know, I was praying for their well-being. I was praying that God would bless them. I was praying that, you know, that God would bless them financially. God would bless their families. I was asking God to, put them in the right church, put them under the right preaching with the right preacher, and somebody to disciple them, somebody to help them. I'm praying all these things. This thing's getting longer. I'm an hour and a half into this prayer. And I'm sitting there, and the Lord just broke me down. I mean, I was thinking, how many people, how many relationships have I severed, and through whatever, through this, and I got to thinking, how many of those things were misunderstandings? I wonder how many people you have quit talking to that. When it all boiled down to, and if you really got to the truth of it, it was nothing more than a misunderstanding or a lack of communication skills that caused the issue to begin with, and now they're completely out of your life. And boy, Lord was just crunching on me all about that. And then I got to thinking this. I got to thinking, you know, they ain't none of them my enemies. Really, there's none of them that's my enemies. Matter of fact, the majority of them I love. And still do. But I have identified them and labeled them as an enemy. That says more about me than it does about them. And so the Lord was really working on me about how I handle situations. And then, you know, you open up Psalm chapter number 7 to get ready for Wednesday night, and David's talking about an enemy, asking God to deal with him. And what did we just learn about on Sunday? That ain't what we're supposed to do.
That's right.
Say, well, David did it. David was under a different dispensation.
Right.
You and I are under the dispensation of grace. God has given us grace. He has forgiven us, and we're to do the same to others.
Right.
I need somebody to say amen. There was a time you and I were an enemy of God, and if you're saved in here tonight, then God forgave you. And no matter how much you've done him wrong,
yes, sir.
And let me say this, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't a miscommunication.
That's right.
It wasn't a misunderstanding.
Yes, sir. Come on, preach it.
God knew everything about you.
Yes, sir, he did.
And yet, he saved you. Somebody ought to run around the building shouting on that one. God knows your heart. He knew everything. Not just what you put on and what show you put on for everybody else. God knows the inner workings. God knows your thoughts. God knows your motives. And yet, knowing all of that, God still loved you enough to die for you. So why in the world can't we extend that to someone else? Let's read Psalm chapter number 7. And we will identify this enemy, and we will see that every one of us has faced this enemy, all right? So, the Bible says, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. That's a good way to start out. Amen? That's a good way to start a psalm when you're in trouble. David starts off and he says, Lord my God. He already establishes who God is in his life. And he says, in thee do I put my trust. Not in man, not in devices, not in my plans, but in thee do I put my trust. He says, save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. Now this sounds all too familiar. Alright, David, of course using a metaphor here, David is using as a shepherd boy. How many of you remember his testimony to Saul that he had grabbed a lion and killed it with his bare hands? Alright, this is an illustration or a thought back to that. A lion rending a helpless, defenseless lamb in pieces. And David uses that same terminology when reference to his enemy and what he's going to do to him. All right? Now, you and I, according to 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8, we have a lion also, somebody help me right here, that's an enemy to us. And he goes about seeking whom he may devour. All right, and so we all can identify with David right here, okay? Verse number 3, O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be any iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth, and lay mine honor in the dust. Salah. Here David is saying this. David opens up himself and he says, if I've done something, if I have done something wrong. He said, but he gives us a little glimpse of something in here. He says, you notice in your Bible, it's in parentheses, but it says, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is my enemy. Now, to me, and maybe to you after I explain it, this sounds like a familiar foe. How many of you know that there was a man by the name of King Saul? King Saul made David an enemy when David never was. All right, so this, that without cause is mine enemy? This is, and could very well be, a reference back to King Saul, who made David an enemy when David was not an enemy to Saul. But let's go to the first part of that that's in parentheses. Yea, I have delivered him. Now I think back to a cave where King Saul went in that cave and David cut a piece of his skirt, of the skirt of his clothing off. And then David told him, I could have killed you. So as I'm looking at this, I'm wondering, I don't know this because we don't have enough information about this scripture, but it does fit the bill if you believe, come on now, does it not? That this could possibly be him talking about King Saul. Now if you go back up in the title, up at the top there, it says a Shagawin of David. Now there's another word, Shagawin, that we, how many of y'all see that in your Bible? All right, good. All right, the Shagawin up at the very top. It should be in the title, the heading of the chapter, but it says the Shagawin of David. There's not very much known about that word. Matter of fact, it's only used one other time in your Bible, and that's over in Habakkuk. And anyhow, so it's quite possible that we don't have a rendering of that. But a lot of people attribute that to crying out loud, okay? But let's continue on. It says, the Shagawin of David, which he sang unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite. Now, Cush, we don't know who that is. There's no other reference to him in the Bible. But however, that name can very well mean an African. All right? It says he was a Benjamite. What was Saul? He was a Benjamite. All right? That word Cush has to do, not only can it be a name, and of course we know you go back to Genesis, you can find a name of Cush. And we don't know who this Cush is, but his name does, that name does mean African, and it does mean one of beauty. And so it could be just a description of Saul, the Benjamite, which would make all the more sense in verse number 4 for him to be talking about Saul in this. But once again, we don't have enough information about the Psalm. But let me say this. When you're studying the book of Psalms, when you're studying them, those titles, they're important. Because we want to know, we're trying to get the setting for what this is. Okay? Now, I believe that I got it right. And don't we all? Okay? But anyhow, I believe I got it right. And I believe that David is talking about King Saul here, but I don't think King Saul's enemy. And so let's just talk about it a little bit more and we'll get into this, all right? Now, King Saul's definitely an enemy at this point, even though David did not want him to be, or David did not, as he said, he was an enemy without cause. But where are we at? Verse number 7:6, all right? The Bible says, "Arise, O Lord, in thine anger." There's David again, all right? Now, you and I can't say that. You can't be praying that. Now, God, I want you to get mad and in your wrath, go out there and destroy them or whatever. You can't do that, all right? Now, this is a David prayer, all right? David says, "Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness." Let's just stop right there and let me say this. That ain't a prayer I'm throwing out there to God. All right, I need somebody to help me. David, you talk about David all you want to. David must have been a pretty good old boy because that is not a prayer that would come out of my mouth. God, judge me according to my righteousness. God said, you really want that to happen? Anyhow, he says, "Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me." Now, man, I'm telling you what, them pretty strong words. I'm reminded of Paul that told the churches, he said, "What you've seen in me, do." This is a pretty good testimony for David. David's done some wrong in his life, and we have testimony of David's sin all throughout his life, but David comes before God and he says, "According to my righteousness, judge me." Now, I think David is referring to this particular situation. I don't think he's referring to his overall righteousness. I need somebody to help me right there, all right? I really believe what David is saying right here is, judge me based on this situation. I've done nothing wrong, is what he was saying. But he adds this, according to mine integrity that is in me. And I'm going to say something. We live in a day and time where integrity is not so much common as it used to be. And integrity ain't something that you buy. And integrity ain't something that you develop, can we say? It's something that you just have. It's something that's in you. And it's not on the outside. You don't put it on like a coat. You wear it at all times. Verse number 9. David said, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. Now here we go again. Listen to this. My defense is of God. This goes back to verse number one where he says, I'm trusting thee. He says, my defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, that's the wicked now, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. Sound like God finna do some business. And verse number 13, he hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. So, I feel right at home. I bow hunt, by the way. And I feel like I'm completely justified in this because God's a bow hunter, apparently. All right? And, take it for what it's worth. All right, now, verse number 14. Behold, he travaileth. This is the wicked, okay? We're going from person to person here, but in verse number 14, we're back to the wicked. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief, and brought forth, say this word with me, falsehood. He made a pit, and digged it, and has fallen into the ditch, which he made. Brother Larry always had a saying, give them enough rope, and they hang themselves. All right, David, Brother Larry got it from David, all right. Verse 16, his mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. That word pate right there means the crown of his head. Verse number 17. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord most high. So David begins this thing, and if we have the right rendering of the word shagaweth, or Shagawin rather, at the beginning, this is David crying out, a very emotional, a very distraught David. All right? He's crying out because of an enemy. The enemy has something to do with Saul. We may not be able to pin it on Saul, but Cush the Benjamite would have been kinfolk to Saul. And if anybody had a reason to be mad at David, it would have been the kinfolk of Saul as David took the crown of Saul. Let me take that back. God gave David the crown of Saul, all right? But if we have this right, David started off in a crying out to the Lord, understanding that the Lord was his defense, the Lord was his shelter, the Lord, he said, in thee do I put my trust. And in the middle of it, we have some things going on that leads us to the very end that tells us David just made up his mind, there's nothing he could do about it, he was going to praise the Lord. And that's where I want to get to tonight. Now, this is the offense that I believe is happening here. So, number one, we're going to look at his accusation. If you'll look with me down in the verses of verse number 14, the Bible says, behold, he travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. I believe this is a case of slander. How many of y'all know what that word means? All right, it's very kin to gossip. But as we look at this, how many of you have ever been affected by slander? All right, slander is someone coming against you destructively in their words. In other words, they are trying to hurt you or destroy your reputation. It happens through a lie. That's what slander is. Slander means that there is a falsehood about the information that is being given. The setting, I believe, and the accusation here was somebody, whether it be Saul or whether it be somebody in the family of Saul, that has gone to someone in authority, more than likely Saul himself as king, or it was Saul himself, and I hope I ain't confusing y'all and all that, but this has come before him and come before someone who can do something about it. And so David is in fear that there will be retaliation over the slander. Now, does this stuff happen in church? Help me, y'all. Does it happen in church? Absolutely. I want to prepare y'all for that. I want to prepare anybody that may be new to the church. It happens in church. You're not going to find the perfect church. You're not going to find a church that does not have sin in it or somebody that is living in sin in some capacity. And so we all must face slander on the job site, sometimes in the home, at church, in the community, all these things, we can put that together and say every one of us is susceptible to being slandered against. Matter of fact, I could give us a testimony time and most of you could stand up and you could take 5-10 minutes and you could tell me a story about somebody who lied to you or lied about you rather, not lied to you, because a slanderer don't come to you, they go to somebody else. This type of stuff happens all the time though. It's happened, let me say this. Some of you that are sitting right here, right now, I've had people call me up and tell me falsehoods about you. Okay, so before you start thinking that it doesn't happen, you may not even know about it, but it happens. Okay, the difference between me and most is I'm going to hear both sides of the story. Well, let me stop, because I ain't always perfect on that, but I try my best to get both sides of the story before I make a judgment as to what is and what isn't. But it happens all the time. You let somebody come into the church and you put them into a position of leadership in any role, any capacity. Put them up in the choir and somebody comes to me, hey, I don't know if you know this about so-and-so, but this is what I heard. All right? Now, let me help y'all with something. The one that is gossip, but when there's a lie involved, it's slander. And when somebody takes this, what I've learned, is everybody all right? I'll get to the preaching here in a little bit. What I've learned about gossip is if you're repeating gossip, the more you repeat gossip, the more you believe it, the more you believe it, the more you take it as your own, and the more you give it as if it's a truth. See, you hear gossip, you repeat gossip, and at first it's just a repeating of gossip, but after a while, since nobody defends it, you assume it to be truth, and so then you start telling the story not as gossip, but as truth. And the fact is, it wasn't. Tuesday night, last night, I come into college, everybody's asking me, what's going on in your neighborhood? Well, what's happening in your neighborhood? I said, I don't know. Michelle was outside. I called Michelle and she was weeding the flower bed. I said, she could have got mad and killed somebody. I don't know. You never know. My wife, she took a hoe to her brother right upside the head. I mean, seriously. So you get Michelle around weeds and you get, there ain't no telling us that somebody might die. So I was just joking around. I said, I don't know. I'll call Michelle. She might have killed somebody. I don't know. She might have shot somebody. And anyhow, we were just joking around with her. I called Michelle. I'm like, hey, you all right? Just calling to make sure. I said the neighborhood's crawling with police officers. I just calling to make sure that you was all right and this, that, and other. She said, yeah, I'm fine. Somebody else done this. So I don't know. I don't know if it was Facebook or somebody posted on Facebook that it was a meth lab. Yeah. It was a meth lab. How many of y'all... You saw it? You saw it on Facebook? All right, so it was a meth lab, okay? And everybody, man, they was all excited about it and everything else. Turned out it wasn't no meth lab. Is everybody all right? Now, I ain't going to tell you what it was, but it wasn't a meth lab, all right? Now, that way, all of you can go home and y'all can do all your searching and everything else. You ain't going to find nothing, all right? But the point that I'm trying to make right here is that in just a few moments, an entire story was fabricated that was completely false. And that thing hit the internet, and then everybody's, man, I heard it was Hey, and we want to be the one that breaks news, so we're calling people up like, hey, man, you ain't going to believe what I just heard. I mean, I just found out it was a meth lab. Yeah, man, the whole thing blew up too, man. It was awful. I mean, there was a big mushroom cloud over Lake Park. I don't know if y'all seen it or not. It should be on the national news tonight. This guy come running out of his house, man. He was running out of his house with an AK-47, and he was shooting up in the air, and the cops had to shoot him dead in the yard, and the house blew up and everything else. And I'm just kidding. Don't repeat any of this off Facebook Live. But that's how it gets started. And then it gets added to, and it gets added to. And before you know it, something as quick as that is spread throughout all of Lowndes County, already up there to our friends in different states and everything else. And it was a lie. And if anything has increased or anything has magnified slander, it's social media. We jump on there not knowing what we're talking about, repeating what we've heard, even if it's a lie, and it gets to people as a lie, and it's slander. And we are living in a day and time where you could be slandered tonight, and it could ruin your testimony, and it could ruin, let me say this, there's people, y'all help me, but there's people that's lost their jobs over junk that happened on social media that turned out to be false. When you're looking at this, slandering someone is a serious offense, and it happens in church. I've seen it happen with, as I've already mentioned, somebody up here singing. We put up somebody in the choir. We put somebody doing a Sunday school class. We put somebody in some form of leadership. Let them come testify. And all of a sudden, people come out of the woodworks talking about, did you hear about this? I just want you to be aware, preacher. And I want to say, have you gone to them and talked about this? Do you know what you're spreading to be a fact? But it's wrong. So David faced something that you and I have faced before and can and possibly, probably will face again sometime in our life. Now our reaction to that, somebody help me, what's our reaction to it? Huh? What'd you say? Oh, I thought she said anger. Like, man, that's serious right there. We finna kill somebody, all right? Anger, absolutely. I mean, that's a natural response. I don't know why I was thinking about hanging somebody. But anyhow, maybe it's anger in me. But anyhow, anger is a natural response to that. And what comes out of anger? Retaliation, absolutely. The need and the feeling that I have to defend myself. I have to say something to defend myself. If you follow me much, you know that not long ago I did defend myself on something. And it turned out just to cause more. I just like throwing gasoline on the fire. So let's learn a lesson from it. The fact of the matter is that there is no defense when it comes to a lie other than your integrity. The people that know you, know that it's a lie. And that's what you got to be content with, is knowing that the people that really know you, they know that this is a lie. And then content with the fact that God will avenge you of that. Now, that don't mean that God's going to kill them, but God will discredit them. Okay? I need somebody to help me right here. God will discredit them. You ever had somebody say something bad about you and it went on and on? Man, you're like, when is this ever going to end? And then they end up in jail, or they end up caught doing something else, and they end up caught to be a liar, found out to be a liar. Now, just because they've thrown that out there on you, now God has now come against their integrity. And that's what David's prayer was. David says, judge me according to my righteousness. In other words, God, I've not done anything wrong. I've not done this lie. And he said, turn it on the enemy. In other words, God, discredit him. But I want you to notice that David, his accusation, he was slandered. And that's what this whole thing boils down to. David was slandered. How did he handle it? That's what I want to know. All right? Now, we know David, and we know I've gone over his prayer, and I've gone over telling you how we're not supposed to pray and not supposed. But there were some elements here that he used, some things that he did that I think can apply to all of us. So we see his accusation being slander, and we see that he has an enemy that is slandering or telling a lie on him, and we understand that that's going to happen to us. How many of you know this? The Bible says that you and I have an enemy, all right, that seeketh, go about, seeketh like a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. Bible also calls him an accuser of the brethren. And if you think for 1 minute that Jesus said about him that he was a liar and the father of it. All right? So if you think for 1 moment that the devil won't lie on you and won't promote someone else lying on you, then you're wrong. All right? So let's get prepared for it. What do I do? In the event that I'm slandered upon, preacher, what do I do? All right? We know. I want you to notice a couple of things. I want you to notice, we noticed his accusation. Number two, his communication. His communication. I've already gone over some of this, but David did not try to defend himself. He defended himself to God, but there was no need. Somebody help me right here. There's no need to defend himself to God. God knew whether or not David had done what he'd been accused of. All right, but the point that I want to bring out and what I want us to understand is that our communication needs to be to God, not to everybody else. It's pointless to try to defend yourself against a lie from an enemy. I'm sorry, I know that ain't what you want to hear. I know we want to throw it all out there, get it all out on top of the table, but I tried that, and when I did it, it turned around on me, and it's not worth it. If I'm going to say, and how many of you say this with me, I trust the Lord. Raise your hand up, I trust the Lord. All right, if we're going to say I trust the Lord, then shouldn't we trust him to defend us in this? So, when I'm slandered upon, where should I go? To the Lord. But you know what we do? We jump on social media and fight back. We jump on social media and we fan the flames. We jump on social media and we pour gasoline on an already volatile situation. Why? Because we just have that. We have to say something. But David here in his prayer went to the Lord. Can I encourage everyone? David was in fear. This, the Shagawan, I don't know what it means. I can't honestly say I literally know what it means, but to our best of our knowledge, it means crying out. David was in fear for his life. That's how bad this slander was. And the first thing that David thought to do was go to the Lord. Amen. David said, "You're my defense." Do y'all remember that? It's in the scripture there. He after getting all mad and everything else, he says, verse number 10, "My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart." David said, "I ain't got to worry about this. God, you are my defense. You know what I've done. You know what I have not done. And God, I put my trust in thee." How much better would our lives be if you and I put our trust in God when it came to these type of a situation? Instead of going nuts and having people question your integrity because of the way you reacted to someone lying on you. So we see David's accusation. We see David's communication. But I want you to notice something else with me. We see David's examination. David, if you caught it in verse number 4, I believe it is. In verse number 4, David, verse number 3. Go back to verse number 3 and we'll do 4. David said, "O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands." Verse number 4. "If I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me." There was a self-examination that went on in David's life. Is everybody all right? I've learned that in every criticism, there's a little bit of truth. In every criticism, there's a little bit of truth. Now, some criticism is meant to build us up. Constructive criticism, we call it. Some is meant to destroy us. And it could come through slander. But David was not, he did not think so highly of himself to think that there was no way he'd done anything wrong. So David comes before the Lord. He cries out to the Lord. His communication is towards the Lord. But David does a self-examination and says, Lord, did I do something wrong? Is there something that I may have done? This is what happened to me in that tree the other day, y'all. All this time I have, it's their fault, it's their fault, it's their fault, it's their fault, just like you would have. All this time, it definitely on them. No way, it's definitely on them. And right in the middle of that thing, Brother Herman, I don't know what it was. Holy Spirit, I don't know what it was. I don't remember what specific incident. But I got to thinking to myself, what if that was nothing more than a miscommunication between the two of us? What if I failed? Y'all help me. What if it was me that failed in that situation? Now things got heated and we said things that drove us apart and we said things that ended a relationship, but what if it was nothing more than a miscommunication and I didn't have the discernment to recognize it? How many of you has ever had a misunderstanding or a miscommunication? Let me ask you this. How many of y'all has ever had it in your house? Yeah. And come on now. How many of you has that thing stewed over for about 3 days before y'all finally said, we can't live like this anymore. Somebody got to get... I do it all the time with Michelle. I'm like, look, you're wrong, but hey, I'll take the blame for everything. Because this has got to end. I love you too much. And that's only after 3 minutes with me and Michelle. I can't take her being mad at me, all right? And because she does have a history with a hoe, all right? And so, y'all say what you want to, but that's truth. And her brothers would testify. She's mean. I married one just like my mama, and y'all just don't know that. But anyhow, David was godly enough and spiritual enough that he said, hey, let me take a look at me. Now, David, I don't think David was wrong in this. I think that's why he had the confidence to say, God, judge me in my righteousness. God, according to my integrity that was in me. So I don't think David did anything wrong here, but David still, having done nothing wrong, Miss Cece, he still challenged himself and examined himself and said, did I do something? Is there some iniquity? Go back to verse number 3, if you will, Miss Carrie, I'm sorry. If I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, you know, if me and you approach the Lord more often like that, I think our spirituality and our spiritual walk, we'd see the effects of it. Right? So, in this case, with slander, with anything else, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go communicate with the Lord. Number two, I'm going to examine myself. And number three, I want you to notice his exaltation. Right? I give you an accusation, communication, examination, and exaltation. Last verse, verse number 17. In all of this, David's still in the middle of trouble. He says, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness. You know what he's saying? God's still worthy. And will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. And all of this, everything that's going on in David's life, somebody's lying on David. David can't even defend himself. He said, God, I put my trust in thee. And he said, even in the middle of my darkest time, I'm on the run, I'm crying out, I will still praise you. Amen. The tactic of the enemy in slander is to get you and I away from God. And the problem is that too many times it happens. We become more like them than we do Christ. And we get into these spats and these fights, whether it be on social media, whether it be in public, and we go after it, one after the other, instead of putting our trust in the Lord and just praising God through all of it. There's a reason. Remember Shimei? Does anybody remember Shimei with David? He cussed David and his men. Old Joab said, let me loose. Let me go over there and I'll cut his tongue out from his head. I'll cut his head off. He ain't going to talk about you like that. And David said, leave him alone. And he said something, and I'm paraphrasing here, but David said something to the effect of, the Lord has allowed him to do this for a reason. Yeah, I'm going to go over here and say it for these folks over here. I'm paraphrasing, but David said, the Lord has allowed him to do this to me. I may not know why God allows things to happen in my life, but if I'm going to raise my hand in church and say that I trust the Lord, then I need to trust Him. And whatever reason God has for allowing somebody to lie on me, in the end of all of it, God's going to work those things for my good. So while I'm in the middle of it and can't do nothing but pray and communicate, is everybody all right? And self-examine. I'm going to exalt the Lord in praise. Because He is worthy. There's too many of us that have let somebody's words affect our song. David said, and we'll sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. We've let the lies of somebody affect our praise and affect our song. Tonight, how about we come communicate it with the Lord? How about tonight while we're on the altar, we begin the process of self-examination? God, if I've done something, if there's some wrong in me, Lord, let's fix it tonight. And then before we get up, why don't we just thank the Lord and praise Him for a little bit for who He is and that He is our defense, our high tower. Above all the accusations of the wicked. Dalton, come to the piano if you will. Bow your head in prayers with me. And if you will, come to the altar. The altars are open. I know it hurts. I know it's discouraging. But I know God good enough to know that He will defend us. He will come to our rescue. Father, Lord, thank you. Lord, for tonight, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for Psalm 7. Thank you for David, God, what you allowed him to go through. What a mighty warrior, what a mighty man of God he was. He had his failures, just like us, but God, you used him. David had to go through difficult times, just like us, but God, you delivered him each time. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, as we gather around the altar, Lord, there's so many that are struggling. Lord, they're going through difficult times, and it can be and should, maybe it is, caused by someone that through falsehood has started something. Lord, tonight, help us to be better Christians, Lord. May we learn from this psalm how, Lord, we are to respond to that. Lord, how our communication needs to be to you, Lord. We don't need to take it to social media. We don't need to take it to our friends. We don't need to take it to the church and around the church. But God, go to you in prayer as David did. Lord, may we examine ourselves. Lord, we may not be guilty, but Lord, there's enough opportunity for us to improve that, Lord, we ought to constantly examine our own lives. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that we would be honest with ourselves and honest with you and examine our lives to see if there be iniquity in our hands. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that we not lose our song, not lose our praise during this time of struggle, this time of affliction, this time of persecution. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we keep a right view of you, Lord, of who you are. Lord, recognize, Lord, that you're worthy. No matter how difficult our lives are, no matter how big the lies are, no matter how absurd the lies are, God, you're still worthy of praise. You're still worthy of honor. You're still worthy of every ounce of thanksgiving that we can give to you. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that we take this sermon, we take the words of this psalm, Lord, we apply it to our lives and go and do thou likewise. May we bring our burdens to you, examine ourselves, and Lord, rejoice in praise over who you are. God, we love you tonight, and I thank you for church. I thank you for faithful people to the house of God. I thank you for our kids program. Lord, all the kids and all the helpers that are out with Team Kids, Lord, thank you for the sacrifice that they make to make Wednesday night church great for those kids and make it, Lord, to where we can come in without distractions and learn more about you and learn more to improve our lives. With heads bowed and eyes closed, before we end the service tonight, is there anybody in this service say, "Preacher, I'm not sure if I was to die tonight where I'd spend eternity"? If there's anybody like that in our service tonight, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look right up at me. Make eye contact with me. "Preacher, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. I do not know if I'd go to heaven or hell." Is there anybody like that? All right. Our Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for a wonderful time in church. Lord, I pray that you bless us as we go our separate ways. As our work week ends, Lord, I pray that you prepare us for Sunday morning. Bring us back safely. And Lord, we give you all the honor, the glory, the praise for it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.